When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am one of your co-hosts, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is my co-host, Joe De Leon. Good evening, good sir.
Dude, I don't know what it is, but this has to be one of the craziest Januaries like in college football history. And I know that...
I think in the world. It might be the craziest January in world history.
I mean, that is true. There's been a lot of other things outside of the college football world that have been nuts, but you are correct there. But in terms of college football, I know that, you know, the transfer portal and NIL are all new, and this is only going to really have happened in the past 3, 4, 5 years, but holy shit, how have we made it this far into the off season and we consistently have banger of topics to go over, which today might be one of the bigger shows that we've done with the amount of things we're going to get to.
Yeah, in the middle of an NFL playoff, too, with Buffalo holding Kansas City to a field goal. So, I mean, look, it's going to be a good show. We got lots to talk about, but nobody is on a hotter streak. It might be frigid cold outside, but nobody hotter right now than the Ohio State Buckeyes. What about this, Joe? What about Ryan Day and his Just for Men beard going out there shoving Kalen DeBoer in a locker? And, might I add, putting Kirby Smart in a locker.
This move was so unbelievably unexpected. I was at the gym this morning, and I was listening to the 247 Sports college football recruiting show. Great show, just to kind of get caught up with the recruiting stuff. And they were talking about the portal. It came out on Friday before he committed. And they spent 20 minutes talking about how much this is going to mean for Georgia and how crazy it is that they're going to have an opportunity to get. And I'm just listening to this. I'm like, this is nuts that everybody, even the insiders, we thought this, everybody on Twitter thought this when the news broke, that Caleb Downs was going to stay and go home to the state that he grew up in. And he was going to reunite with his DB coach and play for the Georgia Bulldogs. And we even talked about it, how massive it would be. This was completely out of nowhere. No one thought that this was going to happen. That's how crazy this is.
Yeah, very crazy indeed. Look, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about Julian Sain also committing to Ohio State. What does that mean for a guy like Aaron Nolan, who, by the way, has the best name for a quarterback in quarterbacking history? Okay. Even though, you know, I at least for me, it 100% shows that you have a guy who in a team that I don't want to say Joe feels desperate, but look, there's some desperation out there, like wanting to win now. So good on Ohio State. We'll talk about that. Caden Proctor going back home to Iowa.
Yep.
Tampering much?
Okay, is reaching out to a kid and giving him some words of encouragement after you develop a relationship with him?
Actually, yes, in the rule book, okay, you cannot contact that kid. You got, let me tell you, it is tip of the iceberg epic that you got Iowa, who can't even get an offensive coordinator, by the way, can't even get somebody to go over there and be their OC. They're tampering with Proctor.
I don't really think it's tampering.
You know what's even better? He's admitting it. He admitted it.
Well, he admits it because, one, no punishment will get handed down. And two, it's not on the scale of tampering. It's not that high up on the scale of tampering. The furthest end of the scale, The furthest end of the scale is offering a kid money before he enters the portal, which has happened a lot. And I know plenty of examples of where it has happened. Just saying to a kid, giving him some words of encouragement. Why is that tampering? Are you right? What are you raising your hand for?
You mean the way that Notre Dame did with Sam Hartman and Riley Leonard?
Riley Leonard initiated and did all of that on his own. It's not tampering.
Wait a minute. Riley Leonard got paid from a Notre Dame NIL on his own?
Riley Leonard inquired about going to Notre Dame on his own. It was all his own doing. He talked to Sam Hartman because he was interested in doing that. There was literally pictures of him talking to him after the goddamn game because he had an interest in doing it.
You can't really use the Lord's name in vain when talking Notre Dame.
Yes, I can. You say that all the time.
Not when I talk Notre Dame.
No. I'm saying you
talk. Every time I talk about Notre Dame secretly in my mind, I go in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
You just don't want me to be right. That's why.
No, you're not right. That's still tampering.
It's not.
You tampered with quarterbacks because Marcus Freeman cannot get a quarter. Offensively, they suck.
We're not doing that today. We're not doing this today. We're not. Not letting you. Notre Dame was not on the topic docket. We're not doing it. I'm not going to let you do it. We're not going to talk about it.
I mean, neither was tampering, but here we are.
Well, I'm sure that we're going to end up spending a lot of time talking about it with Caden Pro. Maybe that's the angle we take. I didn't think that that was going to be.
I'm not really going to spend a lot of time on it, yeah. Really. But I do think it's Joe. Honestly, though, I think it's something that we have to bring up. Like, I don't think it's something that we can just ignore. You know, like, how crazy. Let me just say this. I was, you know, and just playing around with that. But let me just say this, though. Okay. I don't think that this can be ignored. Like, in all seriousness, this has no bit. I don't care that everybody says, oh, well, it's Iowa. Okay.
Like, I don't think that's the issue, though. I don't think it's because they're saying, oh, it's Iowa. They don't do this often. I don't think that's the issue. It's. No, there was no arrangement. There was no communication on getting him to transfer. He made the decision to transfer because they had a really good relationship with him before he committed and then maintained that relationship. I just think that the concept of tampering is stupid. And the only way to avoid, you can't expect teams not to do it until there are strict guidelines of if you commit to go play for a school, you can't leave for a certain period of time.
We'll see. That's not all we got to talk about. I will, Joe, I know we talked about it, but because I'm seeing this on social media, we might talk a little bit of DJ Jerkin. We'll probably talk about it a little bit more tomorrow, who is emerging as the next Auburn defensive coordinator. But lots and lots to discuss. We'll touch on that as well. Ohio State building a big one. But, Joe, a good thing here. Noah Fifita and McMillan staying home in Arizona. Your thoughts really quickly before we get to that a little bit later.
Yeah, unexpected, but also great for Arizona. And I tweeted this out selfishly. I kind of would have loved to have seen them go to a team that was in a little bit more of a contending position. All the guys that they lost outside of the two of these guys is going to hurt what they're able to do in the Big 12 this upcoming year, but it's great for them. These are two very talented young football players that went to high school together that have a really good relationship that want to finish things strong here for Arizona. So it's great. It's great to see for once two kids decide not to just take the money and run.
Yeah, very true. And look, we're going to talk to the SEC Big Ten here in a minute. I think we'll talk about that from a whole scale perspective because of what Ohio State just did. Okay. And what they're doing. All right. So we'll touch on that. Is there a little shift there? Now I don't, calm yourselves a little bit, but I'm not going to let Julian Sain and Downs get me to a place where I'm like, oh, the SEC doesn't reign.
Right.
But I think it's something that we need to talk about nevertheless, because you have two guys that would be premier in the league that would be stay or be in the SEC. So we'll touch on it. All right. Lots and lots to discuss. Everybody do us a favor by hitting the like and share. Share to all those social media groups. Share to all of those social media pages wherever you're listening, watching. YouTube, Do us a favor. Like, subscribe, and notification bell wherever you're listening to podcasts. Rate, review, and subscribe. If you're watching us on Caffeine, Joe, 2,800 people live with us right now on Caffeine. So good to see all of you in our new streaming platform, Caffeine. Do us a favor. Hit the like and share if you're there. I don't really know how all that works, but if you can like, yeah, you can share, do us a favor. Don't forget to follow there as well. Let's go talk about our good friends over at BetOnline.ag very quickly. We got lots to discuss. We do that next. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to wager on all of your favorite sports, contests, events, with the first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews for all the news for each league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, college sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports information for live, in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today and use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BELIEVE50, BLEAV50, to receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline.ag, BetOnline.ag.
We're back!
All right, let's get this thing rolling, y'all. Let's get this thing rolling, y'all. Joe, over the weekend or week, Ohio State pulled off two moves that I'm just going to be honest, probably shook the college football world. So as a whole, at first, I want to talk about Ohio State, what they're doing, and then talk about Downs and Sane and both of those young men leaving the SEC and going to Ohio State. Your thoughts on what Ohio State is building, because this isn't the first one. Also, if people forget, Quinshon Judkins and Will Howard also made their way to Ohio State. Joe, I got to admit, you asked me a question, or we talked about this and did a segment on this, in reference to, is Michigan now taking over the Big Ten? Ryan Day said, hold your horses, cuz, because here come the Buckeyes. Man, what a weekend. What a last couple of weeks for them. Through the portal and the additions that they've made.
Amazing moves. And it's crazy to think that three or so weeks ago, they were nowhere near in this position. They hadn't gotten the commitments of the guys that were going to be returning. They didn't really have any massive moves in the transfer portal. If anything, they had a lot of guys leave. And then on top of all of this, they didn't have a quarterback. They didn't have their quarterback situation figured out, which was even crazier. There was speculation that Devin Brown might end up being the guy going into next season. All of that has changed, not only in a positive direction, but at a ridiculous rate. Mm-hmm. They went and added the best running back available in the portal to now have the best running back room with Travion Henderson coming back. Their defensive line looks fantastic with JT Tuimoloau and Tyleek Williams returning. And then Emeka Buka coming back at receiver. This team has taken some huge steps forward with the returnees and the guys they added in the portal. But they've solidified to me the best overall offseason out of any team this year. They have had the best offseason. And I'm not afraid to commit to it being January 21st. I'm not afraid to commit to saying that this is the second best team in college football going into 2024. Barring any crazy changes, anything happening, somebody else may be jumping ship. They have all of the necessary pieces to finish and end up in the national title game. That shouldn't be a hot take. That shouldn't be crazy to say, because Caleb Downs is that good of a football player. He is that physically gifted and talented of a football player going into his true sophomore season. They're going to be impossible to run against, and they're going to be impossible to throw against. This team is elite.
I'm not going to go there.
They return one of the top corners in Denzel Burke. He's coming back too.
Yeah, but to say that they can't be run on is completely horse manure.
Most of their defensive line is coming back. And they had a lot of really talented defensive linemen.
Well, Joe, in critical times, they got run on. There's a lot of teams in college football that are returning offensive linemen, though.
Yeah, I understand okay?
like,
that.
It, like, there's not – like, no, what you mean is they have it – maybe Michigan won't – you know, will have some struggles. But there's a – Joe, I can name three teams in the SEC right now that are returning four of their five offensive line starters.
I mean, I think that Ohio State has a top three defensive line going into next year.
Okay.
I mean, it's not –
I don't disagree, but I also – even this year, saw those dudes get run on. Okay, like, let's not completely mistake it. Now, we talked about – so let's talk about this as a whole. I think that they've had the best offseason in the portal, and I think – and, Joe, we talked about this on Friday in our clip segment. I think the addition of Bill O'Brien is a bigger deal and a bigger pickup than people are allowing it to be. I kind of went on a little bit of a tangent when it came to Bill O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mainly due to the fact that both years that he's at Alabama, his team score over 40 points. I'm sorry you lost four games in those 2 years, but here's the truth. You averaged 43.5 points in those four losses. Joe, 43.5 points in those losses. That's with even scoring again, like the lowest I think was LSU at 31, maybe. Maybe you can throw in the national title game. Okay, whatever. But they were still scoring a crap load of points. My point here is this. From a player standpoint, okay, number one, I agree. Caleb Downs is arguably one of, if not the best player in the transfer portal this year, even more than I believe than Walter Nolan. You got a great running back, and I do think that you have the best running back duo in the country when it comes to having Jenkins and Henderson. But I've still seen you in the bigger performing games, and Will Howard being a big addition. I want to see how all that works together too, right? Like, they are adding a lot of pieces. I got to see how it works now. Adding Julian Sane is a big deal, but Joe, what did I tell you in pre-show production? Are we 1,000% sure that this kid goes to Ohio State and beats out Aaron Nolan? I'm not 100% sure of that.
It's not a lock, but I would expect he's probably going to win that job.
Don't completely disagree, but he's going to have to go in there and battle. They've had a great offseason. I don't necessarily disagree with you putting them in the top three, top two.
I just expound upon that. I just can't think of who firmly is okay. This team's better than Ohio State. Georgia's the only one that I can sit here and do that for because they've got a better quarterback and a guy who's already been there last year that did some really good things. They have to deserve to get the leg up on Ohio State because they have their quarterback situation and we know how good Carson Beck is and we get made fun of for glazing him as much as we do. But who else? Like, Is it Texas? You know, is it Oregon? I think that those teams have a couple of holes and inconsistencies, especially in big games, that I can't commit to that.
Well, Ohio State doesn't?
Well, Ohio because State, when they've had their best rosters, have played well in the big games. Their roster has not been good and has not been as good as this before.
I don't disagree with that, but Joe, let me throw this your way. If this were anybody else besides Ohio State that were losing these big games, what would you say? Because it's funny that we make this argument, okay? We make the argument about Dan Lanning, or we make the argument about this coach or that coach. Okay, well, they're not winning the big games. All right, well, neither is Ryan Day completely. I mean, look, I don't mean this in a wrong way. He's one fourth down conversion away against Notre Dame from not winning that one on the road. Okay, against, and I'm, look, please don't take this the wrong way. Let's just call it against a 9-3 team, right? Like, they don't really have a lot of business because of how Notre Dame just doesn't have any business hanging around with them, with the dudes that they have. Now, because of the simple fact that I think that Notre Dame has closed the gap from a talent perspective, okay, I'm with you there. Joe, I got you that they added some good pieces. I think their defensive front is really good, but I see, and we'll get to Elks here in just a minute, they're not the Death Star. They've added a lot of good pieces, but there is one team that I think that you're leaving out here on who else has gained a lot of dudes in the portal. That's Ole Miss.
Here's my top to bottom.
I'm gonna give you something here. Your front 22. I really believe that you could say Georgia and Ole Miss from a just pure talent perspective is better than Ohio State.
I think Georgia is. I don't think that Ole Miss is like without a doubt better than Ohio State. I think they're very close.
I didn't say without a doubt.
I know, but I think they're very close.
Joe, are you 1,000% sure? How closely have you looked at it? What receiving core are you taking?
Ohio State's.
Okay. How far of a gap do you think that it is? Because if you think it's a massive gap, you might want to go back and look for a minute. It's not as massive of a gap as people think. So the biggest strength from Ohio State, okay, I think Jackson Dart's a better quarterback than Will Howard is.
I've said this. I've been a massive champion of Jackson Dart, and I believe that going into next year, he's not going to get the proper recognition for how good of a football player he is. I completely agree with that. I think that he's a top five quarterback in 2024 in college football. But like, if I'm comparing these two rosters, Ohio State, yes, Ole Miss has a better defensive line because of all the guys that they added.
So my point is,
Ohio State's secondary is better. Their linebackers are better.
I'm not arguing that.
Their receivers are better, and their offensive line is better.
I'm not going to go there.
Ohio State's offensive line was inconsistent last year.
But
that whole line's coming back.
So is Ole Miss's, and they're adding a left tackle. Joe, there's a difference in pushing and not being able to push a team around like a Michigan. When I saw Ole Miss, Joe, they basically did the same thing to Georgia. It was basically the same game.
Wait. How much of a let's compare those two games, because Ohio State, the way that they played against Michigan and the way that Ole Miss played against Georgia, those are two comparable opponents. Okay. They both could have won the national championship this year based on just like, forget that for a second. Ole Miss got their ass kicked. Okay. They couldn't run the football against Georgia at all. Mm-hmm. And Ohio State found success running the ball at times, not consistently. But they still played a lot closer against Michigan than Ole Miss did against Georgia. Ohio State last year.
Definitely in the second half, yes. Georgia turned it on in the second half.
My whole point is I don't disagree that Ole Miss's portal haul, that's an amazing portal haul. They added a lot of really good players. But Ohio State was three quarters of the way there to being an elite team. They had inconsistency at quarterback.
I don't like that word elite.
I mean, this is an elite team going into 2024. I'm not afraid to say it.
They hadn't played a game. How can you call a team elite?
I've watched enough of these kids play though that I know that they're going to be elite. I don't need to have watched them to know.
Joe, you said you told me in 2021 that defense for Georgia was elite. Did you not?
Yeah.
They still had a loss.
They didn't lose.
Oh, you can't say a team's elite in college football with a loss.
They lost because of injury.
No, they did not. What injury?
Georgia's. They were missing linebacker Jamon Dumas Johnson. We already broke this game down.
We're in 2021. Don't use that word elite around me, man.
2021.
Yeah,
we weren't doing the show in 2021. You and I went in.
Yeah, we did. We were doing Saturdays.
That was 2020. That was 2022.
Points still stand.
I wasn't even an employee of Believe in 2021.
Look, I think Ohio State, okay. I think Ohio State has tremendously upgraded everywhere. I think that they're going to win the Big Ten, right? Like, I 100% believe that they'll win the Big Ten. I'm just really interested to see. It's kind of like, hey, man, you've kind of fallen flat on your face a little bit to some extent over the last couple of years on not winning the big game. Joe, why can I not say that I need to see them do it? You can have all the
portal. There's nothing wrong with that.
You can have all the portal haul that you want. You can bring in some of the best players. But, Joe, it's not as if that they had bad players when they played for the national title in 2020.
No, no.
Here's another thing. Did you see what CJ Stroud did yesterday?
Okay, obviously Will Howard's not CJ Stroud.
Please God, just answer for once. Say yes or no.
Yes. Okay, yes.
Did you see what CJ Stroud did?
Yes.
So they had elite talent with CJ Stroud a year ago.
They didn't have the running back room. They didn't have the defensive line. And they didn't have the secondary that they have going into 2024.
Can I tell you something? Screw your running back room. Because
we talked about who won the national championship this year? It was Michigan with the best running back duo in college football.
Hold on.
You literally spent a whole episode praising the building a strong defense with a good run game.
Screw your running back room when you have an elite college quarterback like CJ Stroud. Are you gonna sit here and tell me that you can have a quarterback like CJ Stroud? What about their running back room, Mr. Blake? It's so goddamn stupid.
We're talking about 2024. That was 2022. I'm talking about this team going into next year. That doesn't make any sense.
I need to see them play and win in big games. When you have talent in quarterbacks like CJ Stroud and you fall flat on your face because you're running.
Sometimes the teams with the best quarterbacks don't win. Jay Daniels lost three games. Sometimes the teams with the best quarterbacks are the ones that win national titles. J.J. McCarthy sucked, and they won a national title with him.
Joe, again, what I said was, which you're completely missing over your beautiful, perfect little hair here, okay, is they have lost their big games. They have lost to big-time opponents when it mattered. Joe, I'm old enough to remember when a Missouri team went into a Cotton Bowl and literally in the fourth quarter were clapping those Buckeye cheeks up and down the field, and if they get a stop, they could legitimately get the ball back. All I am saying is I have seen a quarterback who is the rookie of the year in the NFL. Am I wrong?
Yes.
And you blew it. You blew it. Joe, they were running
a national
title under Ryan Day. They have had really good additions. Really good additions. I'm not taking it away from them. But the bottom line is, until they start winning big games, why can I not say that you got to win them before I'm going to crown your silly ass? Just because Ryan Day uses Just for Men on his beard doesn't mean that he's going to get better in big-time games.
That is completely understandable to say. But their roster has never been this well-rounded against Ryan Day or under
and
Ryan Day.
I asked you the question, what were they like when they almost beat Georgia?
They weren't as well-rounded, and they had a better quarterback. But as we learned this year, and we've learned over the past couple of years, the best quarterback does not always win a national title. If anything, more often than not, they do not win a national title. I would take a more well-rounded elite defense, and here's the biggest, most important part here. Ohio State understands the window that they have right now. They have the capability with Michigan, with suspensions looming, punishments looming, with Jim Harbaugh going to the NFL, their starting quarterback leaving, all the roster turnover, all of that shit. With all of that happening, they understand if they spend the money now and they bring in these kids, that they're going to win the Big Ten in 2024. There's not a team that can compete with them right now, except maybe Oregon, and they're going to go to the playoff, and they can be good enough to go on a run in the playoff and reach the national title game. This roster is well-rounded enough.
It's interesting. Joe, guess who has the most NFL draft picks in the last 3 years? And I can go five because I pulled up five.
Okay. They lost. Two years ago, they lost to Michigan. Why did they lose to Michigan? It was because their defensive line was not good enough.
Fair.
There's always been an efficiency that's held them back.
What I don't think you're comprehending on what I'm trying to get at here.
No, okay? I understand what you're saying. I just don't think it's a good argument.
It's a great argument for me to say that if you have failed in big games, that I gotta see you go ahead and win a big one. I don't think that it's unfair for me to say, look, you brought a lot of good talent. Okay. A lot of good talent. I think you brought in a really good coordinator, but I think Ryan Day has a cloud over him. And why I think, let's get back on a little bit of track here. Okay. Why I think that there's a little bit of, and by the way, you lost.
No, not true. The Ohio State fans are going to side with me. By the way, I think your concern over just to throw this in there before you finish, your concern over big games applies more to Lane Kiffin, who we just talked about as being
I'm talking about Ryan Day. I wasn't talking about Lane Kiffin. Have I brought up Lane Kiffin?
No, but you're saying that you haven't seen Ryan Day get the big wins.
I literally said the same thing about Lane Kiffin during the season. It's literally we talked about this. It was a whole segment.
The same thing can be brought up with Sark, too. I mean, all these coaches that are vying for the second spot. Dan Lanning could also be brought up. All these teams vying for the second spot have not won big games.
What did we say about all those teams? What did we say about Texas? What was literally – Joe, I play this every week.
We're back. Okay.
And what did I say? They're going to have to win it to show me that even coach and team are back. And literally the same night came out here and said they aren't. My point is I think from an on-field talent coaching perspective, yes, they can be top two. But I don't think it's fair yet to crown them something when they've had struggles in those big games, because they have had a lot of good talent on a lot of teams. Joe, let me give you an example. Like, people don't remember, like, Pete Warner. Like, Pete Warner was a really good backer, okay? Gets completely overlooked. You know why? Because he's trailing Devontae Smith in a national title game. I've seen game plans from Ryan Day that have fallen flat on their face. Flat on their face. So you can have all the talent in the world. Joe, on a roster-to-roster basis, does Texas have more talent than Washington?
Yeah, they did.
Okay, that's my point. Like, let me ask another question. Talent in, talent out basis. Does Michigan have more talent than everybody in the country?
Wait, no. Say that last part again.
Michigan does not have more talent than anybody in the country, but yet they still won a national title. Just because you're bringing all that in doesn't mean that I don't have to see you win it. I can turn your argument against you. Georgia did it with a quarterback named Stetson Bennett, but they were surrounded. Joe, they had 15 draft picks. Are you
How are you turning your argument? If anything, that supports my argument, my whole argument.
No, it doesn't. You know
what? My whole argument here is that what has held back Ryan Day is that at times there have been deficiencies and issues with their roster. There has been at least one position group that has held them back, that has hindered them, that has hurt them.
You mean like their offensive line that was played inconsistent?
It did play inconsistent last year, but okay, offensive line is the position.
Whole going to run through if the offensive line plays inconsistent.
Offensive line is a position group that time tends to help with their development as guys add more weight, as they get stronger. Cohesion is important. Bringing back most of the same guys is critically important. I just think that this is the most talented roster that he has had based on all the guys that are coming in, that Emeka Buka comes back, that Jeremiah Smith could be one of the best freshman receivers in the country, that they have the best running back duo. I just look at every single position group and I see them being in, except for quarterback, top five in every single position.
So they're like that every year.
They're not, though. They're not. Because last year we saw inconsistencies with them, and it came a lot from Kyle McCord. So them being really low down in their quarterback room hurt them. It held them back. We're not going to agree on this.
No, I mean, we're not. Because, again, you told me, okay, that their whole defensive line's coming back. Here's my last point. You ready? Most of it. Did or did not Missouri run for 200 yards in the Cotton Bowl?
Did or did not Missouri play against a third-string quarterback who's a freshman?
Don't care.
Their defense was on the field the whole game. How many points did Missouri score?
14, but the other one scored 3. My point is, is you're saying that this defense is supposed to be elite. They are not elite. They've been pushed around.
They were on the field the whole game in the Cotton Bowl. They were on the field the entire game. Of course, that eventually when they constantly – they weren't moving the ball for the first three quarters at all. They were moving the ball at all, Missouri. And it just so happened by the end of the game because they were just punching them in the mouth over and over again.
They were full-fledged against Notre Dame, and they still ran for a 180.
Because that's all Notre Dame could do. Notre Dame couldn't do anything else.
So you mean teams that have really good rushing attacks can just run the ball on them? Because I look at Michigan, wins 30-24. I look at those team stats. Oh, wait, they run for over 150. My point is that, yes, I agree with you that they have talent, but there are deficiencies in areas that you're giving credit for.
I understand that those things held them back, but players who are full-time starters can get better.
Two super chats from Elks. The Death Star has been activated in Columbus. UGA fans are pissed they missed on downs, and now saying air battle is going to be insane. Thank you for the super chat. I agree with all of that. With a $2 super chat, says this is Day's most talented team since 2019. Who won that national title that year?
2019, they won the national title?
Who won the national title in 2019? I mean, all you got to do is look at my home field apparel shirt.
Oh, wait, it was LSU. Wait, no. That's technically 2020. Yeah. Are we counting the...
No, it's the 2019 season.
Okay, because the first thing that shows up is that Clemson beat down on Alabama. And they won 44-16.
Ohio State got beat down by Clemson, and Clemson wasn't more talented than Ohio State that year. With a sophomore Trevor Lawrence. Okay. Caleb Downs, Joe, transfers to Ohio State. Now let's talk about some of the players that are going there individually. Your thoughts on Downs going to Ohio State?
Yeah, I think that the fact, and this is something that necessarily hasn't totally been brought up, but Latham Ransom's coming back so that we now have this. We talked about Malachi Starks and Caleb Downs playing next to each other because we really thought that he was going to end up at Georgia. Him playing against Latham Ransom, I think that their skill sets are going to play off of each other tremendously. I think Ransom's a little bit more big body. He's going to play down in the box a little bit more. And Caleb Downs is sideline to sideline athletic. He's very, very versatile. I just think that this is such a critical additional piece, especially to be playing alongside Denzel Burke, who would have been a first-round corner this upcoming draft. Him coming back, all of those secondary pieces – the Big Ten's not going to be able to throw on them because they don't have very good quarterbacks in the Big Ten. But this is a group that they need to match up with a Texas or an Ole Miss if they go on to play in the college football playoff.
I think you could make the argument that he's one of the best just college football players in general. I think that Caleb Downs showed last year. Now, look, I think that he – showed some weaknesses, Joe, when he had to go man-v-man, okay, against a really good receiver. I think that's a little bit to be expected for a safety, okay? But look, man, he will come down the box and he will light you up. He can cover in space. Look, we saw him have some really good plays against what I think, and correct me if I'm wrong here, is your number one wide receiver coming in the out of the NFL, or number two wide receiver coming out in the NFL draft, and Malik Nabers. As an example,
yeah, he's number two. He's number two.
Right. I was, whatever.
You were projecting your own analysis onto mine.
I was projecting, yes. Bottom line is, Joe, he's one of the most complete safeties, complete DBs. I really do think it's crazy. It brings up a point of this, okay? Ohio State shook the college football landscape on Friday. Joe, I looked at my phone, and I think I texted you this, and we were kind of both like, holy crap that they pulled this off. He just adds another massive dynamic to their defense because you can do so many things with him, whether in coverage, whether playing down the box against the run, even sending him on blitzes. He was arguably one of the best freshmen, if not the best freshman in the country last year. It's just a massive addition because he's so versatile. He can do the three things that you need a safety to can do. He can tackle in space. He can cover in space.
Yep.
So many great things he can do. Joe, the only thing – and look, The only thing that I will say about Caleb Downs that teams got him on consistently throughout the year. We saw LSU do it. We saw one time Michigan do it, I think, right there at the end of the game to score. He's going to have to get better at not being too overly aggressive, right? Like we saw yeah. on some of those double moves. Now, look, how nitpicky can I be? You know,
right.
I mean, that's me being so nitpicky that, hey, a first-round wide receiver got one off on him.
Right.
Okay. I mean, like, I'm being so nitpicky.
Well, and also, too, not to cut you off, that's a trait that I would like to have from a young defensive back.
I can reel that in.
Like, if that's his biggest issue.
Especially from that position, too.
Yeah.
Because it's not like, Joe, that he's going to be facing – well, maybe he could with the new landscape, Washington and Oregon. But he's playing in a league that is not as high-flying as what he just saw a year ago, right? Mm-hmm. He's not going to face an offense this upcoming year like he saw against Jane Daniels and LSU. It's not going to happen.
Oh, yeah, nothing like LSU. But, like, the best that he'll probably see, like, receiver-wise is probably Penn State, maybe. Maybe I don't even know if they play Oregon.
I mean, dude, he led their team in tackles, Joe. I mean, didn't he have over 100 tackles? I mean, the dude was just a freak and is a freak.
They don't play Oregon. Oh, no, they do play Oregon. So yeah, Oregon probably Oregon. Will be.
Yeah. Probably so look, a freak of nature. Here's what I was going to end it with, though, Joe. I'm not saying Ohio State and Ryan Day are desperate. But they are putting their money where their mouth is.
I don't like the word desperate for this, but I more so, as I said, like a couple minutes ago.
Desperate's a bad word. What's a better word?
They understand their situation, and they understand that, like, it's like when you have when you're playing poker, and you know you keep losing hands to your one buddy, and then you finally realize that he's full of shit and you've got a really good hand.
Hey, I
got
to start cheating to win.
Hey, man, if you're good at poker, you know how to cheat. No, I'm just kidding. You push all your chips in the middle of the table and you say, you know what? If you really think that you're better than me and you're going to beat me this hand, I'm going to beat you this time. I'm confident in myself and I'm confident in this roster that if we put enough of a financial commitment to this, we're going to get where we need to be. So, again, I'm very excited and I love that Caleb Downs is going to be a part of this Buckeye secondary.
Ryan Day made mention that it takes about $13 million a year to maintain his roster. What do you think that it's going to take now?
Maybe 15.
Shit.
Because, I mean, think about it. There's going to be a lot of kids that are on the team that are now going to be, you know, looking for next cycle are going to be like, hey, where the hell's my bread?
Right. Look, man, maybe desperation, Joe, is a bad word. I would just say it feels like they know that they got to start taking some things back over and they got to spend the money to do it. Yeah. Speaking of that, let's get to the other player that they had. Julian Sain, okay, was the number one quarterback in the country coming out. Georgia, Alabama, LSU, not really LSU. I mean, this was a Bama thing the entire time. But look, Nick Saban retires. He goes into the portal. They will not let him out of his LOI. Or NLI, I should say, National Letter of Intent. So he goes into the portal and is going to be a Buckeye. I think it's going to be one hell of a battle between him and Aaron Nolan. What a hell of a battle that's going to be. Thoughts on Julian Sain now also being a Buckeye?
First of all, slimy as hell by Kalen DeBoer not letting these guys out of their NLIs didn't recruit them.
Is it?
I don't think that's totally fair. I mean, like, Those kids were recruited and given certain promises by members of the Alabama coaching staff, which none of them are coming back.
Not on
back.
Him, though. That was on Saban.
Saban didn't know he was retiring for sure. He didn't know for you. He probably had an inkling thought of it.
That man bought a house in Florida in July, and you mean to tell me that he didn't know that he was thinking about retiring?
That's fair. I just don't love that he has to waste. You know, now there's one more portal.
He's got
move.
77 of them. I mean, hell.
Right, yeah, he can probably transfer as many times as he wants by the time he does decide to transfer. I understand this strategy. Aaron Nolan has apparently said that he does not intend to transfer and he's going to stay where he's at. I kind of like the strategy. And I remember listening to a recruiting show that was talking about this, where before we saw Raiola transfer or not transfer, change his decision to Nebraska, they were talking about this decision by Georgia to bring in two elite quarterbacks with the thought of, if one of these kids beats the other out, the other one just transfers and they'll get an opportunity to start somewhere big. And it's not going to hurt the kid. And it's only good for the roster. It's good for the competition. They don't end up in a bad situation. We saw this past year that Ohio State had two guys competing and they weren't really good enough. And the third guy down, we watched him play in the Cotton Bowl and he also wasn't good enough. So to know now that Ohio State has a future, that they've got two players from the same class, and then they're in contention, I think, for one of the top guys in the 2025 class, that there is a line of succession to be coming in, that there is a bright future for the eventual winner. I will say, though, this could hurt Ryan Day on the recruiting trail, because I'm willing to bet that a lot of recruits or a lot of coaches that are recruiting kids
to play quarterback, they recruit this situation. Yeah,
they're going to say, you 100%. Really want to trust him? He's not going to just find another kid and you're gonna have to transfer out? Or you really want to deal with that, son? That's going to get brought up. So I think Ryan Day's got to be a little careful with that.
I agree with that. But I do think that this is a little bit of a different beast here, because, I mean, what is Ryan Day supposed to do?
That's a good point.
I mean, if Julian Sain picked up the phone, Joe, and said, I want to come to Notre Dame, you mean to tell me that you wouldn't want him?
I mean, I'd take him, but like we've already got a guy. CJ Carr is already coming. I don't know. I don't know if
kid's going to transfer to Michigan. I'm going to keep saying that until it happens. Look, I think Julian Sain going there. Okay. Look, he is not Joe. There are specific schools in the country that you can go to. Okay. Let's call them who they have been in the past. All right. That have the personnel and weapons historically that are unreal. Okay. I'll throw Georgia in there because I think Georgia just produces unreal amount of talent. All right. Alabama. Okay. Like the dudes, Joe, that historically Nick Saban has put into the league for the wide receiver position has been utterly insane. LSU. Okay. Look at the two freak of natures that they had just this year alone, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, and obviously Ohio State. Joe, he's going to be throwing the trees. I mean, there's a number one wide receiver in the country, and or one number one player in the country that you have the ability to throw to. And look at the dudes that he has on the outside. I just think it's a great business decision by Julian Sain. I think he's going to be alongside two really good offensive minds and Ryan Day and Bill O'Brien. It's a no-brainer. It really, to me, Joe, when I heard Julian Sain to Ohio State, I just thought, like, man, what a great business decision.
The other part of this, too, just to round up this this thought, I mean, we just saw a kid playing the college football playoff who kind of did the same thing. Not the same thing totally, but it was at Ohio State.
You're talking about Quinn Ewers.
I'm talking about Quinn Ewers. He was at Ohio State, wasn't totally feeling it, and left and went to Texas. And now he's starting. Julian Sain doesn't get on the field and say Aaron Nolan beats him out. He is going to have enough notoriety and name recognition to end somewhere else.
Oh, 100% agree. But here's the question. And I'm just going to throw this out there. I think he's going to be in a different situation than him, than Ewers was, Joe, because number one, he's not reclassifying to come out and do this. But you know what the biggest thing for me is, too? I think Julian Sain's your number two quarterback. who is it?
Yeah. Yeah. Devin
Brown, God bless him. Devin Brown is cheeks.
Watched him stink enough. Yeah, he's not good.
Julian Sain might be their number two quarterback and could succeed Will Howard. So, Aaron Nolan, you know, you know how I feel about Aaron Nolan, right? Like, you 100% agree. But you know what's funny? I saw a guy, you know, it would be kind of crazy if him and if Aaron Nolan went to Alabama, because I've seen Kalen DeBoer absolutely just go nuts with a left-handed quarterback.
This I don't know if the lefty thing. I also think it'd be kind of fun if he went to Oregon just because of his name's Air.
Air?
And
yeah, that would be cool.
Get him a Jordan deal.
I just don't think if you're Ryan Day, you can turn the kid down at all. At all. All right.
No.
Caden Proctor to Iowa. Let's do this, Joe. Let's talk about our good friends over at Home Field Apparel. We'll talk a little bit about that. Tampering, I do think that we have to bring up. Not my saying. Obviously, he was on video saying some stuff. And then two of the big premier guys at Arizona not go anywhere. We'll talk about that, too. But let's talk about our good friends over at Home Field Apparel. Let's not go anywhere. We'll talk about that next.
Ruffino and Joe Show is brought to you by Home Field Apparel, which is the best, without a doubt, premium collegiate apparel brand that is out there. They have over 150 different colleges that you can choose from, whether you're an Illinois fan or a Rutgers fan, maybe you're an LSU fan like Blake, or maybe you're an Alabama fan, whatever it is, even Idaho. They have so many different designs for so many different football programs that I can guarantee you're going to find some great stuff to help root for your favorite team. I've already gotten my Notre Dame stuff. Blake has his LSU stuff. Make sure you head on over to homefieldapparel.com to check out your team's collection of clothing apparel that they have on the website. And when you do so, when you check out, make sure you use promo code RuffinoJoe to get 15% off your order. That is RuffinoJoe, Ruffino Joe. Head on over to homefieldapparel.com and get your college gear today.
I'm actually wearing my Home Field Apparel shirt. I never leave home without it. Just throwing that out there. Use that promo code RuffinoJoe on your next checkout. Joe, very quickly, before we start wrapping some things up here, I think this is going to be a big topic of conversation. I got to mention something about this, too. Caden Proctor, who was the big-time Alabama left tackle, from Iowa at signing day around the same week, goes to Alabama instead of Iowa. Goes into the portal now that Nick Saban has retired from Alabama and is going back home to Iowa. Okay, cool. I mean, don't think it's a smart business move. I know that that's home, all right? Who knows what they're doing on the offensive side of the football? Who knows? I don't think that they even know. I think it, quite honestly and arguably, Joe, is a bad move for him. Personally. That's how I feel.
I actually disagree.
Well, I do think that they put up a lot of good offensive linemen. I think that there's a peak that he can get to. Okay? Like, meaning you don't see Iowa offensive linemen in the first round, mainly because who?
Tristan Wirfs and Tyler Linderbaum in the past 5 years.
Wirfs is a different beast.
He's got a lot of similarities between them athletically.
But their offense wasn't this bad, though.
Their offense has been pretty booty.
When Wirfs was there, was their offense this bad?
No, it wasn't. So okay.
All right.
I don't think. I just would like to add this. I don't mean to cut you off. I don't think this is a bad move for him, because they've developed a lot of good offensive linemen, a lot of good tight ends, and they've got one of the best strength and conditioning programs in the Big Ten and in the country that nobody talks about.
Because they're all white boys hitting the steroids.
That's got nothing to do with it.
I just think it's, Joe, how bad they've been, okay, is why it's a bad move.
He can go anywhere else.
He's
not a quarterback.
No, who's their OC?
We don't know.
It's January 21st.
Does their OC impact? He's not going to win a national title. Do you think that it's going to impact his development as an offensive lineman?
Joe, I've seen Brian Ferentz get promoted. Nobody is taking the job. We're January the 21st.
I'm trying to double check that.
Yeah, please go ahead and double check.
I'm double checking that George Barnett, who's the offensive line coach, how long he's been there.
Oh, he's been there a while.
Yeah, George Barnett.
But Brian Ferentz was the one that, you know, a lot of people, can we get to the point?
Yes.
Clip all this shit out before, because I clip all this other shit. Okay. Caden Proctor is on his way back home to Iowa. Regardless if we believe, Joe, it's a good fit or not a good fit, he's going back home, good for the kid. Can we talk about the elephant in the room, pun intended?
Yeah, go ahead.
Caden Proctor was on an interview with some TV station in Iowa, probably the only TV station in Iowa, and basically, I'm just going to say what it is, that Iowa was tampering with him in the middle of the season.
I think that yes, by definition of the rules, yes, communicating with a player on another roster is tampering, but the kid's from Iowa. He was committed to Iowa for a very long time, and he developed close relationships with members of this coaching staff. Kid was struggling early. They didn't reach out to him and say, hey, man, if you got sick of being there, come on over to from Alabama, come on over to Iowa. That was not what was happening. They just reached out to him, gave him some words of encouragement. That was it. And now that he entered the portal, it occurs to him, I should probably go where they support me. They supported me this whole time. That was why I was committed to them originally. That was why I didn't consider any other school. And the only reason why I picked Alabama in the first place was maybe wanted to play for Saban. He wanted a chance at a national title. Got his taste of it. Now he's going to go back home. I don't think that this is going to negatively impact him at all. And sure, if you want to call it tampering, go for it. But like, how does this hurt the college football world? It doesn't.
Okay, well then
don't tell me. Be encouraging to him.
Okay, well then don't tell me anything about NIL in the portal ever again. Don't. Because let me tell you what it shows. Can I tell you what it shows? That coaches, administrators, presidents, Congress, all of them say that how much they hate the portal in NIL. Do they not?
Yeah.
You know what I call? I smell a big old case of bullshit. They love this because they're able to improve their roster. Joe, it's never more important to finish second in a kid's recruiting cycle than ever before. Joe, they knew exact when they sent the text to him and saying, hey, man, we know you're struggling in the SEC. We know that Alabama fans are telling you that you need to quit football and that you suck. That's plain in the seed that you're welcome home here. You can't be a coach and go out there and say, hey, man, Alabama people hate you. You know where people don't hate you? Iowa.
Well, part of the irony, and I'm not saying your statement is ironic, but the irony of the situation is that Iowa fans were not exactly thrilled that he changed his mind last second. They were not very receptive to it. So it's not like he's going back to a fan base that was very pleasant to him. I don't think the fans really play into this at all. You know, I just don't. This shouldn't fit in the definition of tampering. Like, forget the word for a second. Is it such a malicious act to let an 18-year-old know that he's going to, you know, things are going to work out? Like, is that so wrong to do?
No, it's not. You know, and I know that that's not what really is why they're having the conversation, though, Joe. Let's cut the BS. If you're telling the kid,
you don't need to assume everything's negative.
Joe, if you're at work and I work for another company, and I keep texting you, and we're just friends, and I just keep telling you, hey, man, I hear at your current company, they're always talking shit about you, and they hate you, and everybody around there hates you. If you want to make the move, you always have a place here. Joe, regardless of how you view it, okay, I'm sorry to tell you, buddy, that's what we call a good old-fashioned tampering. Well, I understand where you're coming from. Okay. You're trying to take the human side of it. And that's why I'm just going to be real with you. And you're probably, you know, people are going to probably laugh at us. It's why I love you as a human being, because you're always looking at the human element of things. But Joe, you really think that they're reaching out to him because they like the kid?
okay, I'm sure that there obviously was some hope that he would change his mind and want to come back to Iowa. But right. He was committed to Iowa for a very long time. He's from the state. He is the biggest recruit to come out of the state in a very long time.
Maybe ever.
He probably spent so much time around that program and in that facility and in that coaching staff.
I understand that.
Probably spent more time in grand total than he did at the University of Alabama with that coaching staff.
All right. Well, just getting the elephant out of the room, the pun intended. You like the move of him going back to Iowa.
I would have hoped to have seen him at a more impactful program that is in the contention for a national title.
I agree.
But I don't think it hurts his development. And I think that he's going to a school that's going to make him, you know, physically tough as shit. And he's going to be a good athlete.
I think here's how I view it. Joe, just even as a former offensive lineman. Yeah. You've put a lot of good big time offensive linemen into the NFL. So is a shitload of other places that can be competitive and talent and where you can showcase your talent. Joe, I mean, your team.
Notre Dame doesn't need a tackle right now, so it doesn't
have not taken the kid?
I don't know if they would. I literally don't know where he would play on the offensive line. They'd have to move him into guard.
Then
Charles Bagasdahl was like the
then let him play guard. My point is the kid wants to go home. Good on him. Look, we all want to go home. We all have the yearning for home. I don't hate him for that. But there is things that have to be discussed in reference to business decisions. Joe, again, they are so bad on offense. They're so bad on offense, it can make really good players like him even that Joe, he might look better. He can become better, but they're so bad on offense.
Wait. Who's the best rookie tight end this year?
Sam LaPorta.
Where did he go to school?
Iowa. Who threw him? Why is
Where was he drafted? He was drafted in the second round.
Why is it so shocking that Joe, as an example though, but I get
my point is that he doesn't need to be super productive and in a good offense for him to succeed in the NFL.
I'm not saying that.
He's not a receiver or a quarterback.
That's that. Business decision can be NIL. It can be higher in the draft. Why does Sam LaPorta fall to the second round?
He wouldn't have been a first rounder anyways. Tight ends don't get valued that high.
Would he have gone above Kirkland that went to Buffalo? Or wasn't it Kirkland?
Kincaid.
Buffalo?
Kincaid. No, Kincaid. He wouldn't have. He was never in that conversation.
Joe, you mean to tell me if that kid were in an offense like LSU, Alabama, Georgia, wherever, that kid wouldn't have worked himself into a first-round pick? I mean, I'm old enough to remember the kid from Oregon State, Musgrove, whatever his name from Oregon State, went to the Packers, okay? And how they looked offensively.
Michael Mayer was more productive than he was and went after him. I don't know why you do this. You just set me up to say shit. Should we talk about Fifita?
Noah Fifita and McMillan are staying home at Arizona. Joe, I got to admit, wow. Big win for Arizona. I did not think that Noah Fifita and McMillan would stay with the Wildcats. But here we are. They both say that they're staying. Okay.
I think from the aspect of it's nice because they're two of the first kids to say, no, we're going to turn down any money and stick where we're at because we want to finish where we started. But that's not what college football is today. It's all about money and it's all about winning a national title and going to the playoff. This Arizona team's depleted. They just hired a coach that we thought was a very mediocre hire. They're not going to the playoff in 2024. I don't know what happens by 2025. They could have gone somewhere. Fifita could have ended up at Auburn and could have helped Auburn really be serious. Yeah.
And we've gotten paid.
Both of them. Both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, just from the perspective of, I would have loved to have seen, I hate, and I mean, I get, it's kind of in line with what you were just talking about here with Caden Proctor. I hate watching really good football players on, you know, slightly above average teams. I know. Just forget that for a second. Forget that for a second. No, they're a quarterback. It's a quarterback and a receiver, not an offensive lineman. I would have loved. Yes, I already said it. I would have loved if Caden Proctor ended up at Ole Miss. I would have loved it. That would have been awesome to watch Ole Miss have a really good, damn good left tackle. You give
me so many migraines. It's unbelievable. My children, who are 4 and 1.5, don't give me more migraines than you do.
You know why it's worth it.
How can you say that about all right, never mind.
Forget it.
so hypocritical. Okay.
That's not the point.
I think that good on them, because it shows Joe that, look, man, there are some kids that will do the right thing. Right? Like,
yeah,
maybe they are getting paid. Hell if I know. I mean, really, the hell if I know. But look, they're sticking with Arizona. They like Arizona, and look, it gives that new coaching staff time to build off something. Another one, Joe, that I was just completely shocked about. I'm going to throw this out there though. What happens in the spring when Noah Fifita says, "Man, this shit ain't going to work"? McMillan says, "Man, this shit ain't gonna work." Then what?
I mean, that's a good point. That there's still a possibility that
there's still a possibility that they can go in the portal. And I'm going to tell you something. I am not completely buying yet that they will be on Arizona's roster come this time next year. Meaning, like, I don't think that they would have been on this past year's team. I'm not buying that yet, because I do think that there's something to be said. Maybe they don't want to get in the portal window. Maybe they got to, you know, do some things academically. Noah Fifita could start at a lot of schools, okay, in the country. But I do commend them for sticking it out when nobody else probably thought or thinks that they should have.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. I'm conflicted, because it's, you know, it's nice to see somebody make this decision, but at the same time, again, I think it would be better for college football. God, it sounds so selfish saying that. I feel so selfish saying it, but I really don't give a shit. It'd be better for college football if I got to see them play on a more competitive roster, because they're proven. They're both really good football players. Feels like a waste. Apparently Arizona fans exist because they weren't very happy about our evaluation of Brennan. But
blah.
Yeah. They're not winning the Big 12 with Brent Brennan as their head coach.
Here, Cam Rising's back.
Yeah, exactly the point here. Utah is winning that division. Utah's
still going to find a way to lose two games.
I don't know, dude. They would need –
ways to lose two games in the pack when Clay Helton was the head coach.
The injuries that they suffered this year were catastrophic. Like, I don't think we've seen that many injuries for a team like that. That was horrible. But –
Josh says that Bama people are freaking out about all the players leaving. Yeah, man.
Yeah, I mean, we already knew that.
Yeah, we already talked about that. You can catch the clip show. All right. Joe, it was a good one. You made me work for this one on all your bad takes.
It's going to be one of our better shows. The clip's going to be us yelling, I think, for this week.
Sounds good. Thank you all for joining us. Don't forget Caffeine TV. Go over to Caffeine. Killing it over there. Go make your go follow us on Caffeine TV. Until tomorrow, Joe, it's been a good one. You guys have a great night. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Peace.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.